All right, there's the music. That means it's time for the show. Some of the best doggone people on the planet. My name's Jamie Flanagan, and it is Animal Talk. Welcome to the show, Keith Roth Nelson. We're gonna have some fun today, man. We've been trying to connect for a little bit here, and you were kind of lost at sea, and you know, you didn't even have Ginger and Marianne with you.
No. Yeah, I've been on a boat since December 19th, except for a week. So
yeah,
pretty much. I'm boated out right now.
Yeah,
I need a vacation from what people think is a vacation.
Vacation from vacation. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty well. What you do? You're a man of many trades, and one of them being stand-up comedy, and that that took you out to sea to entertain the folks. I want to hear about that, and I want to hear about all kinds of stuff. But first, Keith, tell me about your childhood.
I'll tell you about what? I'm sorry?
Your childhood.
Oh, my childhood. Oh, my gosh. I always say my mom was married four times. My first dad left my mom before I was born. My second dad and mom got divorced. My third dad killed himself, and I found him after he'd been dead a week. My fourth dad, my mom and dad were married for 47 years, and he's a World War II guy. So I guess the choices were serial killer or comedian. I guess I flipped a coin and made the right choice, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Fourth time's the charm with the pops there. Wow.
And then my wife, my first wife, she's now been married four times.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm on my second marriage, and things are fantastic. So
okay.
It took me a second try, but I got it right.
So. You got to have that practice one in there.
You have to have the practice one, man.
Yeah. Oh, you know, here's the thing. I'm really, really lucky because my wife will never, ever, ever listen to these. She's like, because I'll do, you know, I did pop radio here in Detroit. You know, I was on the air for 17 years here in the city. And you know, I would, you know, people would be like, oh, did you hear Jamie today? And she's like, no, I don't listen. I got to hear that when he gets home.
I gotta listen to him at home. Why would I listen?
Why
to
would
him
I? I get a break. Why would I? Why would I do that? Because it was fun. Because like my son, you know, he's my stepson. He's like he would play hockey, right? And we'd be going to big hockey tournaments or whatever. And you know, I'd give him a shout out, right? And all those hockey moms, they listen to the hot AP, the pop station that I was on. And so we get to the arena or the rinks and whatever. And they'd be like, "Oh, Jamie, you said hi to the boys." And it's like Colleen's like just rolling her eyes, like, "Oh my god," you know. So I can make practice wife jokes and get away with it because I know she's not going to hear it.
Yeah, she's not listening. Listening, so.
Yeah, safety. We're safe. Yeah. We're safe. So that is quite the challenge as a youth. Then you found some stability, and you found some stability in comedy. So where did you get your chops doing comedy? How'd you break into the comedy scene?
I started up in San Francisco, but that was only about 3 months, and then like an idiot, I moved to L.A. Because you should really get your chops somewhere else before you move to L.A. or New York.
Right.
But, you know, young, dumb, full of cum, as they say. So. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Mm-hmm. But so, and I titled this episode before we were talking because we had a very cursory talk prior, and I had seen a couple of things, and you know, we talked about the stories you could tell, and it was titled "Kung Fu and Cats Saved My Life," and being Animal Talk, you're something of an animal lover, and I think you've taken a step further to being a collector or a hoarder. You got a lot of cats in your life. You have like 28, 32 cats in your life?
Well, we've got... Okay, so let me backtrack.
Okay.
yeah, because, you know, if you ever told me before I married the woman I'm married to now that I would have this many cats, I would have told you you're nuts. But, you know, I don't know. I got married to her. You know, we live on horse property. People leave their animals. They move and leave their animals for whatever reason. I don't want to judge them. But, and my wife's a nurse. She can't stand to see them left. So it started off on our other property, we had two inside and two outside we were feeding. But then when we moved, my wife says, well, you got to get those two outside or I'm not moving. And I said, okay. But it turned out one of the ones outside was pregnant.
Oh.
So that got us from 4 to 8. Right?
Yeah.
And, oh, no, by the way, they always say the third cat is the gateway cat. They say once you get to 3, you'll keep, most of the time people will keep getting more cats. Now, I don't know if that's true, but apparently we're at the gateway to insanity at 32.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, come on. All right, come on.
32.
This is Bo Jackson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that he was that is a it's, so it's 32 cats.
Yeah,
so they all got names. It's not after like 10. No, I think I'd be like, hey, you.
Yeah, no, they all got names. I can tell you all of their personality traits and stuff. Wow. We've got 6 more in the front yard and 2 more in the back.
Holy.
That are apparently filling out applications trying to get in my act. I do a thing. I go, basically the inside of our house is the United States. The front door is the port of entry and the neighborhood is the world. I'm Trump trying to keep him out. My wife's Biden bringing him in.
So. Oh, mercy sakes. You're not going to win though. You're not going to, no, there's no,
no
win.
I'm not going to win. And you know, it's amazing. They're really great animals because they have, apparently, I found out, they have a frequency they give off when they purr.
You had mentioned that.
Yeah, that gives off a frequency. It doesn't give off. It lines up with a frequency that humans have, and it actually extends your health and your life.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're really nice animals, you know, other than the litter boxes, which is another whole story.
So, well, yeah, on Animal Talk, you know, people have litter box problems and they'll call us and we'll help people out and we'll assist them. And a lot of times we'll say it's, you know, the formula for cats is you have a box for every cat plus one, right? And that's for normal people, you know, around that number 3 gateway, you know, maybe 4 or 5. So no. So what do you got? Like a kiddie pool and just
we got 9.
Okay,
but that 9 I couldn't take it anymore. I said that's it. We can't have any more.
Yeah,
in the house. But I mean, it's interesting because about the change in my life, because those you know, they have to be done every day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could skip it, but I mean, how can you even live in a house like that?
Oh, yeah, no.
So it's a horrible job. It has to be done every day. It's like, it's similar to Kung Fu in that you have to work on the forms every day. So, like, if I'm up at 8, by the time I'm done with litter boxes, sweeping, and you have to sweep every day because the cat hair, you know, and dust. And then Kung Fu takes another 45 minutes. My day really doesn't start until about 11 in the morning, because by 11 I'm done with that stuff and then I could do whatever I want that day.
Yeah.
So that's it, like every day. And of course my wife hates me if I'm going on the ships, because her and my daughter then get stuck with the litter boxes.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's dad's job when you're home, and then
but when I'm here it's my job.
So, well, you, that know, was kind of nice.
COVID, and of course during COVID I was here all the time, so they didn't have to do it, you know. Right.
So that's nice, getting that extended stay on the boat. You're like, I miss the cats and everything, but another week off of litter duty.
I definitely do not miss the litter boxes. No.
So you say there's that resonance, and with 32 cats, I mean, you know, you gotta love them, right? That's a point of you can't not be a fan of the cats. What do you find they give to you?
Well, here's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, before I had the cats, right? You know, you see the commercials come on, you know, for, PETA or what, SPCA, whatever. Yeah, they show
the Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one, you know, the dogs out in the snow and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when I'm going through Facebook or I see something like that, and we don't even have a dog, but I see people with these dogs, you know, they're fostering him for now, but the dog has to be adopted. It's like, you literally, what happens is you get so much empathy for animals. You want to, you can't, obviously, but if I could save them all, I would at this point. You know, if I had the money and wherewithals or whatever, I would do it. So now I understand that. And I've got a lot more patience with human beings, and that's all from Kung Fu and Animals. Yeah.
I might need to learn some of your patience. I was in, I teach high school, and I'm in class today, and I told my kids that I hated each and every one of them.
Well, this is funny because I taught for 17 years.
Oh, right on. Okay.
So in LA Unified, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And now you can't, you know, you can't do anything to the kids. There's no.
Oh yeah.
And I get that we don't hit kids anymore. I'm not even, but they're, you know, if you do something wrong, I mean, that's how society works. If you, you know, if you speed, you get a ticket. If you jaywalk, you get a ticket. If you steal, there's got to be a consequence. It doesn't mean it has to be a brutal consequence.
Right.
But now, no, there's no consequence for anything. They've just, I don't know what they're doing on your school district, but LA Unified just did. You can't give a kid a fail anymore.
Through the COVID, yeah.
I mean, what world are you living in? That's not the real world.
We had this grade, and this was before COVID. It was called fail credit. So they failed the class, but they earned the credit for it. And it didn't go in, and it didn't count against their GPA. I don't even know what the hell it was. I think it went in as it hurt their GPA. It hit their GPA. But they would still get credit. And what it all stems down to, and what that stems back to, it's all money. And it's all the state saying, we're not paying for a 50-year senior. You got to get those kids out of there in 4 years, hell or high water. Right. You make them successful. You teachers have to do a better job and stop screwing around and get on the ball and you help these kids be successful. Because we don't want to pay the extra money.
And the crazy part of that is they tie your hands behind your back and then they say, make them successful.
But, you know, But I got to put in context of what when I said I hated my kids, I told them I hated them because they had to turn in an idea right there. It was in my video class, actually. And I was like, all right, so you've had last class and this class to think of your idea for this concept. And so you need to, if you've typed it out, print it, give it to me. If not, get a piece of paper, write it down, and give it to me before you leave. Make sure your name's on it. And so this one kid was trying to be helpful. I go, he goes, is there paper? I go, yeah, it's always paper right there. Grab it. And so he grabs it. And he thought he'd be helpful with his classmates, and he started ripping it up so everybody could have a piece to write down their idea on. But it was like, he didn't even like fold it so it was nice little squares or anything. It was just like these crazy ripped half a kidney in South America and Cuba shaped. And every one of my kids had this bizarre shape of paper, and a couple started writing on it. I go, wait. Do you guys think you're turning in your ideas on that? I go, I hate you all. I go, all right, let's look on the bright side. You're sharing resources and you're working together as a team. I love it.
Right.
That is beautiful. But I hate you all. Get a piece of paper. Let's kill another tree and just don't make me crazy with these crazy shards of paper. So, no, that's why I told my kids I hated them today.
Yeah.
They bring so much joy. They're like my colony of cats.
Yeah.
I have one at home, my Percy cat. I don't know I could hang with 32.
Yeah, it's we basically don't have any furniture. So I mean we got beds and a wooden round table for our and then a coffee table, but the furniture had to all go.
Right. Do they all have their claws? Where are you at? You're not at a declaw?
No, we don't declaw.
Right. So yeah, no, it's you can train a cat. I don't know if you can train 32 of them, but you can train a cat. We've done pretty well with Percy, with the one we got him from, from scratching up the couch. Because he did. He shredded one chair when he was a little kitten, and we're like, all right. Something's going to change. But we were able to train him, and he only makes a mistake every now and again, but he's got his scratch and post. But I guess if you have 32 of them, that mistake every now and again treads the house before you blink. So So karate, kung fu, you say you're involved with that. How long you been doing that? And
It's a little over 12 years as of January 10th. My first day was January 10th, 2010. So this is I've done 12 years. This is the start of
my. What drew you into that? What made you want to do that?
Well, I always wanted to do it, but I just kept putting it off.
Okay.
And then I said, well, you can't just keep saying you want to do something. You know, at some point you got to make your move. So I called up, I got really lucky. The dojo I called up, as soon as I got them on the phone, I go, oh, I like these people. I went over and it was just perfect match. So, So I've been there for 12 years. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So was there something that it's always something you wanted to do? Was there something 10 years ago that was the turning point that I need to do this now, or I'm going to do this now?
Yeah, what happened was I was doing masters track because I high jumped. You know, in my younger years, I was a high jumper. So then I was doing masters. It's like old man track, you know.
Okay.
Old man track. I was pretty good in that. And I did that from like 30 till I was about 51. And then, I don't know, I put some weight on and then had some injuries. And I just didn't want to slump, you know. It was taking a toll on my knees and my ankles. So I took some time off, and then thought I was going to come back. And then my wife kept saying, you got to put on weight. You got to put on weight. Because at the time I was 6'4", 180, because I was high jumping, you know. And then I started doing kung fu, and they said, oh, you're definitely going to put on weight in here. Everybody does. And I kind of like, yeah, whatever. I lived this long and I haven't put weight on since I was 18. And then now I'm 194.
Okay.
So apparently they were right. And of course, 194 is too heavy to high jump anymore. So, and kung fu takes a lot of time too. So it's kind of hard to serve two masters. So
that's how that happens. That whole gravity thing is it's really
and gravity catches. Yeah, and gravity catches up with you as you get to a certain.
It's a bugger, man. So. Keith, tell me about your comedy. When did you start cracking jokes, and when did you start? Because you said you
kind of happened by accident. Yeah. I was in college. You know, you do these long lectures, those 90-minute lectures, and to keep my attention span, I would crack jokes sometimes during the lectures. Not so much at the teacher's expense, but just for them. So then one of my friends goes, "Man, you should try doing stand-up sometime." Of course, then I tried it, and then it's like, you know, it's like heroin. Now you're hooked. So that was it. So that's kind of how that happened, so to speak.
So what was your most harrowing experience on stage?
Starkville, Mississippi, 1995.
Nice. You got it down. All right. Yeah, Starksville. Take me to Starksville, man. What happened?
Yeah. I was making fun of the Klan, and a guy pulled out a gun in the front row and pointed and said, "Fucker, move to another subject." And I looked at the bouncers. They didn't move. I just made it kind of – I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the racial portion of our show. Could I have a new pair of shorts?" He picks his shirt up and put his gun back in his pants, and I finished the show.
I love that.
Just glad he didn't shoot me.
Holy smokes. The bouncers were not diving in.
No, they weren't going to get involved. And then one other time, a guy threw a beer mug at me, and it hit my suit. Mm. And I got in a fist fight with him, and then that was the end of the show.
You're like, chicken wire? Why is there chicken wire?
Yeah. Well, apparently. It's funny to mention that because I played basketball overseas in South America, and we actually played two games at places where they had chicken wire.
There's a basketball games and then cockfighting in between.
Yeah,
yeah. The halftime was probably
Valparaiso chili. They had chicken wire, and the and here's the crazy thing: we were leading by, I think, 26 points with about 5 minutes to go, and the refs just start making these random terrible calls. And we end up winning by two, and the refs come by in broken English and go, "Hey, we make it interesting, huh?" We're trying to get off the court, and the fans are throwing shit at us. And we had to have a police escort out of there. And I was like, "Wow."
Okay.
Now I guess that explains the chicken wire.
Okay.
You know?
Oh man. So the stand-up comedy, how do you write when you write? Do you sketch things out? Do you just practice them? How do you build your comedy?
Sometimes you get ideas, so you just write them down and then you just let them sit for a while and percolate, and then some are accidents, like somebody will just say something and that'll trigger something. And then there's, like, if you want to write like every day, there's just grinded out style of writing, like, what's the opposite of this? What's everything I can think of about this subject? And what are derivatives of this? You know, like the cat thing, you know, we're bringing them all in the house. They're refugee cats. So then that came up with the Trump Biden thing, you know, something that, because really the trick is finding something that connects to something that didn't look like it would connect, but then it does. That's the surprise. Like I just wrote a joke where I said, I don't fight very much with my wife, but the other day I got in a fight with her in the kitchen. And normally a fight with her is over in about 2 minutes, but her friend joined in. And so now they're both ganging up on me. And 20 minutes later, I'm still fighting them. So finally, I just snapped and I said, Alexa, shut up. And then she said, this is Siri. Alexa left 20 minutes ago with an Android. So that's how the joke. So you leave, see, you'd say, her friend jumped in, but you don't say who the friend is, and then that's the surprise.
That's good. You got me on that one.
Yeah, and that's a good surprise. Yeah, and the joke works very well because it's a surprise. And then I have another joke where I said, I'm married to my wife 14 years. She's from the Philippines. It's going very well. I'm anticipating if the next 14 years goes as well as the first 14, I'm definitely bringing her over.
Yes. So, well played, sir.
Yeah.
See you again.
So that's kind of,
And we're lucky because our wives don't listen to this crap, so we're safe.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So tell me about being on a cruise, right? So being a comedian on a cruise, what's your, I mean, it's how long is a cruise? And then, I mean, how many, do you have like several different routines that you do? I mean, you got a captive audience. You can only do the same shtick, right?
Yeah. So here's how it works. You do, for the most part, and it changes sometimes. Usually you do five shows, one PG, two adult, and then you can repeat two of the shows. One has to be a PG and the other one can be one of the adults. But there are some comedians that have five shows, but not very many, because even three shows, three different 30-minute shows, that's 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to have minimum. That's why a lot of guys can't do cruise ships, because you got to have at least 90 minutes.
Is that daily?
So, huh?
Is that daily?
Well, sometimes I did, like, on this last ship, they had me one day do two 30s and a 20. I did a 6:15, 7:45, and 10:30. So I did two 30s, and the 10:30 was a 20 in the big theater.
Yeah.
And we actually did 7 shows on this cruise. This cruise was 7 shows in 5 days.
Okay. These boats are floating cities. I mean, they're ginormous. I haven't been on one, but you just see the ads. And actually, friends, I just had some friends. They were on a cruise, right. And they were docked in a port, and they thought they were on a big boat. And then there was this boat next to them that was like it was just 5 times the size, and it was like, man, how many people do they squeeze in there? It's like,
yeah. I mean, I was on one for 2 weeks at Christmas that held 4,500 passengers.
So you got a rotating, crowd, you know, so you could do the same shtick of all week long.
Yeah. So you go, how does it even stay in the water? It's like 12 floors, 12, 13 floors. Basically a skyscraper in the water.
Right. Yeah. Just cruising along. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been a cruise guy. I've DJed, and people have like, oh, you should DJ on cruise boats. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It just seems like trouble waiting to happen.
they're actually the number one, target of, you know, other countries.
Pirates?
They have guys on the ship, like they do on planes, you know, like marshals and stuff.
Okay.
They usually have some guys on there just because they're, and it's really secure.
I'm the captain now. Yeah.
They're not going to pull an under siege on there.
Right.
Losing some lives. So.
Do you got any good cruise stories? Any good? What's the best thing offstage you encountered on a cruise?
Oh God! Just some lady screaming the other day that they took her purse. Oh. That was just the other, that wasn't even the cruise. It was like right after. It was at the airport, and she looked just like Marjorie Taylor Greene. So that made it kind of funny, and she's just screaming, and she's crying. Her face is covered in makeup and tears, and she was claiming that TSA took her purse, and they were making her walk through again, and TSA wouldn't say anything to her, so she just kept screaming louder and louder, and then I was standing next to her, and I said, I think your purse will be there when you get through, and she goes, no, she's like, and of course she gets through. And then by the time I got through, I go, was your purse there? And the TSA lady goes, yeah, of course it was. Like, this lady's having a meltdown at the airport. So you see stuff like that. You see people drunk on the cruise. I think the thing that cracks me up the most is people in swimsuits way too small for their body weight. That always amazes me. You actually looked in the mirror and said, yeah, that's exactly what I should wear out to the pool.
No one needs to see that.
No one needs to see a 290-pound, 5'8 man in a Speedo. No one needs to see that.
My wife will tell me that all the time. Summertime, I'll be working in the yard. I'll take my shirt off. She'll be like, really? Really? No one needs to see that. Thanks. Love you too, honey. Yeah.
Thank you.
So besides the comedy, you've done a little bit of acting and some directing. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I directed a TV pilot.
Okay. Pilots.
An accident. Yeah, that was actually a grind because I had to shoot, because we low budget was like $22,000 and we shot it in, I think, 32 pages in 5 days.
Wow, okay.
So yeah, that was, I was pretty tired by the end of that. It's like, well, let's do this again in 10 years.
Let me get back on stage.
Yeah.
So how long are you going to do it? How long are you going to grind it out there on the
ships? I actually just got on the ships. I've been doing clubs. I like the ships a lot better. They pay for everything. I like the crowds better. I'm trying to think what I don't. I guess the hardest thing about the ships is you're doing more shows in a condensed time.
Okay.
The good news about that is you get, I would say I got 50% better in the last 2.5 months.
Okay.
Just from doing it. because, you know, repetition is the mother of invention. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice. Right. So I would say, yeah, I've gotten really good at just handling audience really quick, and then my stuff's become tighter. So I'm, and all the comedians on the ship are good. They're all headliners from clubs. I mean, they all got 90 minutes. Everybody can hit it. I haven't seen really too many guys that are like, wow, that guy's not that good. They're all pretty good comics.
So I love stand-up comedy. I love seeing comedians and watching comedians. I hate comedy clubs because they're worse than cruise ships packing you in and sardining you. There's no enjoyment in that. Because it may be because I hate people. I don't know. That might be it.
Well, you're like Carlin. What does he say? I like individuals. It's when they get together in groups that I don't like them.
You're telling me.
That's so true.
So exactly. But yeah, but comedy clubs themselves, very specifically, and it seems like such a hustle. I feel like I'm getting hustled. And I feel like, they just shoehorned me in there. And, you know, it's because a lot of times, like, great, you know, from your end, do you see people, wedged in there? Do you feel bad for them?
that's a loaded question.
You want to see people jammed in there.
I would say yes and no. I would say yes in that I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I would also say yes to what you're saying in that. I like to do my sets and then get out. I'm in and out. I'm not a hang around. I used to be, and then I got married to this woman and I'm happy now. So it's like, and my friends always go, you never hang out. I go, yeah, that's because I got a really nice, smart wife at home. Why would I be hanging out with you dumbasses?
Exactly.
You know, I got nice cats at home. I got a nice life. These guys, you know, some of their lives are kind of less than, what should we say? Less than perfect.
Yes.
Toxic, so to speak. Not that I'm judging them. I was very toxic for a long time. So I got lucky late in life and met a good person that kind of flipped me over.
I'm going to leave that one alone. All right. And I got to go blue on you there. But all right. So besides the cruise ships, do you tour around the country at all, or you just stay closer to your city?
I'm going up to Oregon and Washington in September.
Okay.
Normally I go up there every year for about 3 weeks in July, because that's when the weather's good.
Okay.
And I grew up there, so I go up and visit my friends and do casinos for 3 weeks. But I got so many cruise ship bookings right now, I had to go now in September. So.
All right, I got to get a DJ gig on one of the boats here. You're telling jokes on, so
yeah, that'll be fun.
So, so how do people find out about you? Find your jokes. Oh, yeah. Find your funny. So, what do you got online for me?
In fact, hold on. I'm going to be. I want to plug a couple things. I'm going to be at the Junkyard in Simi Valley on February 12th.
Okay.
And I'll be at TK's. It's a brand new club in Addison, suburb of Dallas, March 2nd through the 7th. It's called TK's Comedy Club. And if you want to find me, I'm on Facebook, and I'm also on Instagram at Keith Ross Nelson. So follow me on Instagram. And if you want to go to my website, that's keithrossnelson.org.
Okay.
Whatever that crap is they put in front of it. www/ guess what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's your TikTok coming along? How's your TikTok?
I did a couple cat posts and then I just.
Oh, you did have a TikTok.
Yeah, I do. I do, but it's like I haven't looked at it probably in 5 months. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, it's just it's like, again, so I teach high school and I do the media, the student, you know, publications, the yearbook, right, newspaper, and the broadcast. And you know, so there's like, oh, now there's TikTok, oh, there's Snapchat, oh, there's Instagram, right, there's Twitter, there's, and it's like and I'm like, I don't know, I'm still just hammering out my MySpace page. I'm just still trying to get that, you know, my top five friends settled. I'm just don't rush me into this other stuff, please.
Right.
It's always just one more thing.
Right. Just as you get used to the one thing, Then there's another thing. It's almost faster than how fast they come out with iPhones every year.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Oh, geez. Here's the trouble with it's what's shaping, you know, young people is the just how flippant, how you know, non-permanent like Snapchat is, right? And so they don't see repercussions for their actions, right? And so other things they put up online in other places stick around a little longer, but they don't quite understand that there's repercussions for their actions. And then so much of it just goes away. It's so interesting. And it's because like a yearbook is meant to last, you know, 10, 20, 25, 30 years.
It's supposed to be that what you just said, last 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that drives me nuts is it's taken a society that's already going too fast and speeded it up. Kids' attention spans are getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
You know, so that, because I used to tell kids when I teach, I go, you know, I get it. You're doing the TikTok, whatever, you know, Instagram, whatever. I do Instagram, so I'm not judging. Twitter, you know, short blurb of what you're doing today. But you have to take a time in the day where you just turn all that shit off and just lay in your bed for a minute and just be. It isn't even be you. It's just be.
Yeah.
Just sit there and just chill. Listen to the silence, but they don't know how to do that.
No,
you know,
no, not at all.
And I think, I mean, it's great if you're in a fighter jet and you have to make quick decisions, but I don't know how good it is for running our lives when your lives are being based on an attention span of less than 10 seconds and algorithms, you know?
Now get off my lawn.
That's exactly what we sound like.
I'm comfortable, but thing is,
they can't get on our lawn because there's too many cats. So I don't
have to know. I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Oh, Keith, man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you hanging out for a little bit here. Take care of them cats.
And, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
What's your cat food bill every month? 32 cats.
You know, it's between 500 and 600.
Wow.
Yeah. I always tell my friends, I go, I could have had a Mercedes car payment or cat litter. And my wife won the argument.
There you go, man. Well, hey. And
you said about the hoarders. I said, you know, we're going to do a meeting, you know, for my wife because she's a hoarder of cats, but we couldn't find a place to put the chairs.
All right, Keith, give all them kitties a hug. Hug your wife.
Yeah, stay warm in Michigan. Thanks for having me.
We will. Appreciate you, man.
See ya.
Bye.